Being thankful for the promises of God. It's easy to remember the promises of God, but you have to stop back away from your circumstances to really be thankful for them. There's a passage that Bob read on Sunday from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Speaking about the kingdom is a joy. Speaking about it in 10 minutes is a task. But I just want to go through those phrases one at a time. And we don't have enough time to expound on each one. But whenever you see a therefore in the scriptures, you want to go back and find out why it's there. And if we had time, we could go back and back and back until we realize that the kingdom of God is about everything from Genesis and everything forward to Revelation. In our lives, it's everything from all the way back to when man was first created to all the end of time when we get to live in the eternal kingdom. But we don't have time to cover that. We could walk through each writer of the New Testament and show how every writer in the New Testament, John and Paul and Peter and James and Christ as he is revealed in the Gospels, that's their main subject, the kingdom of God. We could talk about how the king and his kingdom is the theme of the whole scriptures. It's the story of the Bible from the beginning to the end. It's where the story begins and it's where the story ends. When the story of scriptures ends, that's all that's left is the king and his kingdom. On the creation that's been restored to its original intent. What a joy. God with us, finally. The hope of our salvation. Or we could even talk about how the gospel is really the story of how through the blood of Christ, our citizenship is changed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. But let's just look back briefly at Hebrews chapter 1 and note how the writer of Hebrews started the book. Chapter 1, verse 8, but about the Son, and he's comparing the Son to various key people and parts of the Old Testament as he goes through the book of Hebrews. But in the first chapter, he says, and about the Son, he says, meaning God says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And in verse 13, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, that I would love to speak on. We are receiving a kingdom. Not we just will receive a kingdom, although we will. But we are receiving a kingdom. A kingdom with perfect rule. In our culture, it's difficult to speak of a benevolent king, but in the kingdom of God, a kingdom with perfect authority, perfect governance, a kingdom where we will get to be fully human, the way we were created to be before the fall, where the curse of the fall will be removed, sin and death removed, Satan removed. And we will get to be who we were created to be when the culminated kingdom arrives. It'd be great to talk about the principles of the kingdom because the principles of the kingdom are life and light. They're good and they're righteous. They look like Christ because Christ lived out those principles. We could talk about how the citizenship in the kingdom is our very identity. In fact, notice in this passage that we read the words, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And at the end of that verse, for our God is a consuming God. The fact that we are the people of God is in and of itself something to just be thankful for each and every day. God has always wanted a people, and we are redeemed for that purpose. What a joy. We could talk about the culminated kingdom and what it would look like. And we could talk about the church, because what a joy it is to know that the people of God are the church right now. And you cannot be a believer outside of being part of the people. When Christ first established the church, he said to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And the next line is, "And I give you the keys to the kingdom." If you have the keys to the kingdom, you get to go into the kingdom. If I gave you the keys to my car, it's permission to drive it. If I give you keys to my house, it's permission to come in and enter it. And he gives the church the keys to the kingdom. But then it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that's really the point of this passage. Let us be thankful. Let's go back and look at the verses just prior to this one, beginning in verse 26. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about how God is going to shake creation. And he's done it in the past, but he's going to do it in the future in an even bigger way. And so in verse 26, he writes, "At that time his voice shook the earth," meaning in the time of Moses, "but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The word "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, it reminds me of a story in Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a statue. Do you remember that? And he said to his wise men, "Tell me the dream, and then tell me the interpretation, because then I can believe the interpretation." And his dream was about a huge statue with a head of gold and an abdomen of silver and a chest of silver and an abdomen of bronze and legs of iron and toes and feet of clay and iron mixed. But then a rock was hewn out of a mountain without hands, and it moved to the statue, and it smashed the feet of the statue, and the entire statue crashed at the same time, from head to toe, from gold to clay. It all came down at one time in such destruction that the wind blew, and the whole thing blew away until there was nothing left but the bare ground where it once sat, and the rock that destroyed it. And the rock grew and filled the whole earth. And that rock is the kingdom of God. And in verse 44, as Daniel gives the message of the kingdom, kingdoms of the earth, he says to Nebuchadnezzar, "In the time of those kings," meaning the kings of the clay and the iron, "the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold to pieces, until there was nothing left but the kingdom of God." Doesn't seem like a great passage for Thanksgiving, but it's an incredible one. The people that this was written to were the Hebrew Christians who had worked at the same place for 22 years and never thought anything would be at stake until they became believers and were persecuted, and now their job was on the line or gone. People that wouldn't buy or sell from them anymore. They had to relocate just to find a place where they could find peace. They were persecuted, some killed, imprisoned, and so they fled. It would seem that on Thanksgiving, you'd want to give them something a little more significant to grab a hold of. But there is nothing more significant to grab a hold of than this. If you're in the kingdom of God, if you are receiving the kingdom of God, you are receiving an unshakable kingdom. Everything else is going to fall down someday, but the kingdom of God will be left standing. And we have been invited and then redeemed to be a part of it. That we can be thankful for. That we can rejoice in. If the Iron Curtain collapses, we go, yeah, that's good. God did a good thing. If China were to collapse, we say, oh, that's a good thing. If Iran or Iraq were to crumble, we say, that's a good thing. Wall Street is just part of the kingdoms of man. If it doesn't come down now, there will be a day that it will. Which kingdom are we in? The economy, the world economy, it's going to come down and get blown away. And the only thing left is the kingdom of God. That's why the verse that Bill quoted, seek first the kingdom of God, and these other things will be added to you. But it doesn't happen just by because the verse is there. It happens when we take the time to think about what is life really about. For the believer, life is about living out the principles of the kingdom of God and rejoicing that no matter what else happens, it will be there when all else is gone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.